trying to find the words to say. I don't wanna run you away with another half-baked cliche, soft in the middle. I don't wanna be the guy to drown you in some water downright, and then have to throw you a line that's so sentimental. Don't wanna sing you no stupid love song like the sap flowing through the trees. And I don't wanna come on too strong, 'cause I'm thinking you could be the one. You could be the one for me. I don't wanna turn you off, so baby turn that record on, 'cause I know I can't go wrong if you just let me show you. Don't wanna sing you no stupid love song like the sap flowing through the trees. And I don't wanna come on too strong, 'cause I'm thinking you could be the one for me. Don't want to sing you no stupid love song like the sap flowing through the trees. And I don't strong, 'cause I'm thinking you could be that somebody that I could count on, the somebody that I need. And I don't wanna come on too strong, 'cause I'm thinking you could be the one. You could be the one for me. You could be the one, you could be the one for me.
All right, and that is Jordan Pepper, who's in the studio with us here at KVNF. And that was really lovely.
Oh, thank you.
You wrote that?
I did.
So did you chase someone away by coming on too strong? Where did that song come from?
No, I actually, I don't like writing love songs, or like, I guess, gushy love songs. And I was in a co-writing session with this guy, and his name's Britton Cameron. And he was like, Jordan, you need a love song. And I was like, man, like, I'm not into love songs. I just don't like them, you know, just not my thing. And I started dating this guy, and he was like, you know, I saw that you were dating a dude, and, you know, do you think he could be the one? And I was like, I don't know, we just started dating like a month ago. And I was like, maybe he could be the one. And that's kind of where the song got started. So I didn't really want the gushy love song, but, you know, it has a little bit of cheese on it, but...
Are you still with that guy?
I am. Yeah, it's been 4 years.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah. He could be the one.
He could be the one, yeah.
So you're playing at Healthy Rhythm in Montrose this Saturday.
Yes.
Doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 7. And you are going, this is also going to be a benefit.
It is.
For a young woman named Emily Reese. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So she is a brain cancer survivor. She is, I think she's 5 years old now. And we're just raising money for her and her family because, you know, the financial and stuff, the medical bills and all that, that's insanely expensive. So we're just trying to raise money for her and her family to get those medical bills paid off and less stress for them.
Very nice. So for people who don't know a whole lot about you, you grew up in Monte Vista, Colorado. You're a Colorado girl.
I am.
And now you're over in Nashville. Can you talk a little bit about where you grew up? You grew up on a potato and barley farm and probably not a whole lot of music influence to draw from.
Yeah.
So how did you go from being a farm girl to a Nashville star?
Music, yeah. That's one way you could say. I grew up on this, it was a 2,000 acre farm, and we had one radio station, well, two, I guess. We had a country, top 40 country radio station, and then a Spanish radio station, and I got most of my influence by driving the tractor and listening to what was on the radio, and most of it was the Dixie Chicks and whatever, Garth Brooks, who else was there, George Strait, anyone that was playing that young, because I was like 12 years old when I was driving tractor. And so I got some of it from there, and then my mom was also the worship leader for our church, and so she made me sing on stage a little bit. And so I kind of got used to it there, and that's kind of how I got it going. And then I moved to Nashville. I told my parents when I was 18, I was like, you know, I want to try this. And they looked at me crazy because I'm pretty shy and don't like to talk. And so they're like, you want to get up on stage and talk to people? So, that's how that all kind of came together.
And so you just packed your bags and moved to Nashville?
Kind of. We lost the farm. When I was 16, there was a bunch of financial stuff, and it was just getting stressful. And so my dad and my mom decided, you know, we're gonna leave. And my dad has always wanted to be east of the Mississippi, so we loaded up an RV, we sold everything, and we went and traveled for about 2 years, I think, a year and a half to 2 years, before we went to Nashville. And we traveled to Kentucky, lived there for a while, and then went to Alabama, and then to Georgia, and then that was the time that I was like, okay, I'm like 17, and we were about to go to Utah, and I told them, you know, when I was 18, I'm still going to Nashville, I'm still going to try it out, and they're like, well, you know, nothing's holding us back, and it would be stupid for us to go to Utah, and like 6 months later, drive all the way back to Nashville, so we just decided to go straight from Georgia to Nashville.
So your folks are there with you now?
They are.
Oh, good.
Yeah, my family is with me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And what's your experience been like there?
It's been good. It's been what a ride it's been. It's been crazy. I mean, there's definitely been ups and downs. A lot of competition, of course, there. But it's been good. I mean, I've met a lot of people, and made some friends, and so
you you put out an album.
I did.
And talk about Mountain Rain is the name of it. It's your first album that you put out.
Yeah.
Who produced it and what inspired the music on it? And
so mine's a little different, because, you know, you think you go to Nashville and you want to record there. I did not. I actually went to Alamosa, Colorado, and the guy of Don Richman, that he plays with the Rifters, if any of you guys know that. Anyways, he produced it, and I met him a few years back and through a friend, and he gave me a stack of CDs, and I was kind of like, well, you know, because I was in the process of thinking I was going to do it in Nashville, but I didn't really want to, and I listened to some of his CDs and kind of fell in love with the sound that he produced with other artists, and I was just like, well, you know, this would be good. Like, and so I got in contact with him, and I was like, you know, some of the stuff that I do is a little different than what he produces, but I was just like, I think this will work. And so I came out, and we recorded. It took like a month, but we had a blast, and he kind of let me kind of co-produce a little bit, and that's one thing that I didn't really wasn't too big on with Nashville, is because with a producer there, usually they take it and you don't have a lot of say in what you want to do with your record. So a lot of the sound and stuff, it just came from when I first started writing it, and I kind of gave him the ideas of like, this is, you know, this is the way I kind of would like it to go. And he made it happen.
The industry people that you run into in Nashville, what do they want to do with you? Like, what have they told you that you maybe agree with or don't agree with in terms of how you should pursue your career?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of mixed stuff with that through Nashville, because I'm definitely not your top 40 country. And a lot of the people I deal with the top 40 stuff. And they, some people are like, just keep going and, you know, you're doing really good. And then there's other people that are like, you know, they hear a song of mine, they're like, yeah, you know, that's never going to make the radio. But it's funny because it's like, well, that's like my most played song though. So I don't get it. So it's just, I've noticed it's just like all kinds of opinions. And that's just, I guess, kind of how I take it.
Right. Do you feel like you've gotten better at hearing this kind of feedback and just know when to take it seriously and when not to?
Yeah. No, I absolutely love hearing all kinds of people's opinions, because it just helps me grow better as a person and as an artist. And I learn like, okay, well, I can kind of take you seriously. And I take bits and pieces of what they say and try to make it better. So
how did you get hooked up with industry when you were there? Were you just playing coffee shops and got discovered, or you know what I mean? Because you have managers and people that are helping you out now. So
I actually didn't. When we moved there, my parents and I, the first thing that we decided to do was to get one of the top vocal coaches, just really good, because we figured the first thing is first is we need to take care of my voice and learn. And so when we moved there, we found out that our neighbor was his name's Eddie Bears, and he's a session drummer, and he also plays drums for the Grand Ole Opry. And so we got to know him, and I asked him, you know, who's a good vocal coach around town, because there's a lot. And he said Judy Rodman, without a doubt. Just give her my name. And so that's what we did. And I was working with her for about a month, and I didn't really know what to do. I wasn't sure if I should go on Broadway and play, you know, those bars, because I had some friends that's what they did. And I was like, well, maybe they can kind of mentor me, because when I came to Nashville, I didn't know how to play guitar, and I did not know how to write. I just knew I could kind of sing. She got me in with an artist development company. And that's kind of where I made most of my connections with most of the industry people. And that's where I learned to write and learn how to play guitar. So that's kind of where it went. And it kind of just took off a little bit. And then I'm just got signed recently to Hound Dog Records, which is out in Alamosa. And I just found him through a friend, and we just hit it off.
It's like one thing leads to another. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you learn about writing when you were doing that? What were some of the things that were blocking you, I guess, from doing it?
I think it was confidence. I just didn't think I could do it. I mean, I still have a little bit of issue with it, especially writing by myself. I still have the lack of confidence of, I don't know if I can do it by myself. So I always like to co-write, but I love the different opinions that when I am co-writing that other person is giving. I would say it's probably lack of confidence. And but I kind of just found out, oh no, you just kind of live your life and stuff just kind of pops in your mind, and you're just like, I'd like to write that down. So that's kind of how I learned, because it's like, oh, that's true. You want to write about life and stories that come up. So
great. Well, let's hear another story if we could.
Yeah.
Jordan Pepper is in the studio with us today.
All right. This one's called 1862.
'62, when I hear a boom, soldier He shot my mama dead and my sister too. I don't know why he didn't kill me too. No, I don't know why he didn't kill me too. Oh, 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 oh. 5 long years since that war began, walking in a holler when I met a man. Daddy doesn't like him, he's a Yankee man. I feel like I've met him, but I don't know when. Oh, I feel like I've met him, but I don't know when. Oh, 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 oh. Sunday afternoon, he said, I have something to tell you. I shot your mama and your sister too. As a soldier, that was something I was forced to do. As a soldier, that was something he was forced to do. Oh, 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 oh.
That was 1862 from Jordan Pepper, and that song is on your Mountain Rain release.
It is.
What made you want to write from that sort of historical perspective? Where did that character come from?
I was actually just watching the movie Lincoln, and I was playing that melody, and it just kind of came to me. I was just playing the melody and thought it was just such a cool melody, and the words across the TV said, I think West Virginia, 1862. So I just started kind of singing that. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. And I started singing, 1862 when I hear a boom. And kind of came to me. And then my mom came in the room and I was like, I think this would be awesome. Like a kind of a twisted love story. And
it's like a murder ballad.
Yeah. And so we just kind of ran with it, and that's kind of how it came about. It was just kind of random.
I like it. And the video, too. You did a video for it where you're, true to that historical era.
Yeah, I did. That was actually, when we recorded this song, because I did not think, when I wrote this, I was thinking, this would be a great, sit by the campfire, kind of ghost story, haunting song. And my manager at the time heard it and he's like, you got to record this, Jordan. And I was like, no, it's kind of weird and I don't know. And he's like, no, you got to do it. And so I did. And then the next thing he's like, no, we should make a video to it. And so I was like, all right. And so I got to screenwrite the whole thing. And That was such a fun day.
I bet.
Yeah.
What sort of surprised you about this whole journey so far? Even yourself, what have you surprised yourself by what you know, not even just the talent that keeps developing, but for instance, you wrote a song that was dark that maybe you didn't know you had that in you, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I feel like I surprise myself every day. Like when I get up on stage, because that's probably my worst fear is getting up on stage, especially for smaller venues. For some reason, when it's just a smaller crowd, it makes me more nervous. But I surprise myself with that, and writing. Some of the stuff that like I kind of come up with, I'm just like, it's so twisted, and I don't think anyone would like it. But seems like people like it, so
maybe that's your specialty.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good. And Jordan's going to be performing at Healthy Rhythm in Montrose this Saturday, 7 o'clock. The show starts, and you'll can get tickets online or at the door. And a portion of the proceeds are going to go to Emily Reese and her medical expenses. So,
yeah,
great. Have you toured around Colorado much before?
Not really. I would come back usually kind of to the San Luis Valley, perform there a little bit through the summer, and then head back to Nashville. And I played a little through Nashville. Last year was kind of the first time that we just decided to step out and go to like North Carolina, and we hit Illinois and Indiana. And I was actually going, how we kind of started this tour is I was going to Kansas City to the Folk Alliance, and we just decided, well, I'm going to Kansas City, we might as well just make a huge trip out of it. And so we just decided to start booking.
How was Folk Alliance? Because that must might have been a nerve-wracking performance, because it's mostly industry, right? So you're,
yeah. No, the first night I was like shaking. I was just like, oh my gosh, because Folk Alliance is different. It's really cool how they set it all up. But so they have like official showcases, and then they have showcases where they rent out this. And I don't know if they rent out the entire hotel, but they rent out like four different floors of the hotel. And you showcase at all these different hotel rooms, and industry people just come in and they'll listen to you, and then they'll go out and like listen to somebody else. It's really neat. And there's artists everywhere just walking around. But yeah, no, the first night I didn't know what to expect, because it was my first time going to the Folk Alliance, and my label was there, and there were some artists that came from the label, and we were just kind of like, I don't know what to do. We were so overwhelmed because there's so many people walking around, and but it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, I was like, man, I wish it didn't end.
Cool. So,
yeah.
Well, if we could hear one more song before you go, that would be fantastic.
And this one's off my record. I wrote this one because I'm not a huge city person, and I live in the city, and I'm not huge on the traffic and all the people. And I came back to the valley, and some of my friends that still live there, they're like, Jordan, you've kind of got a little city-fied on us. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't think that's good. And so I wrote this song because I was like, I need to get back to my roots. So that's what this one's called. The never wills and wannabes.
excuse me, but I've got to go. I'm about to roll, 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 roll back to my roots, where I come from, back to all that I knew. You can come along if you want to come too. I'm about to roll back to my roots. So give me a two-lane highway, big sky and better view. All this hurry up and wait's burning up my brakes. I'm choking on the fumes. Give me some place I can be myself, feeling comfy in my shoes. Can't sit around feeling sorry for myself, singing the white girl blues. Excuse me, but I've got to go. I'm about to roll, 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 roll back to my roots, where I come from, back to all that I knew. You can come along if you wanna come too. I'm about to roll back to my roots. Back to my roots.